Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
At Christian Apostolic Church, through the Angel Food Ministry, you can get excellent restaurant-quality food at a great low price.
This food is delicious.
Angel Food rocks. You gotta try it. You can't buy better food anywhere.
When you think about saving money while feeding your family the best food, you need to think Christian Apostolic Church and Angel Food Ministry, helping families eat better.
Mine tastes that good.
It's really good.
This service is available to all. There are no income guidelines. If you eat, you qualify.
I like it.
You've got to try it. It's really good.
CAC's Angel Food Ministry can accept payment in just about any format. You can pay by cash or money order, debit card, credit card, or food stamps card, EBT. The only format we do not accept is personal check.
The food is delicious.
The delicious menu is available on our website right now, along with an order form you can print right from the website. Check it all out at www.cac.us.com/angelfood. Again, that's cac.us.com/angelfood. Christian Apostolic Church and Angel Food Ministry, helping families eat better.
It's like they say, restaurant quality food.
Angel Food is awesome.
Now, if you've just joined us, you're listening to Voice of Truth, and we're pleased to bring you at this time another installment of A Creation Seminar by Steve Grohman. Previously on the program, we've already played a portion of this series. Steve presents his seminar live hundreds of times each year in churches, public schools, private schools, and at a variety of other special functions. And via radio and television interviews, his voice has been heard internationally addressing this crucial topic. You can visit Steve's website at www.creationseminar.net. Again, that's www.creationseminar.net. And we encourage pastors, teachers, school principals, school superintendents, and any others interested in helping children learn the truth about creation and helping people to uncover the lies and deception of the religious movement known as evolution to email Steve at creation@creationseminar.net. What you're about to hear was recorded live in a church setting. The voice you'll hear is Steve Grohman. He's spent the last 14 plus years on the road full time, traveling with his wife Dana and now their son Paul as well, teaching about the crucial topic of creation versus evolution. Let's roll the tape.
How about fossils made of opal, opalized fossils? There's a guy in Australia that makes opals in 2 weeks. Under an electron microscope, you can't tell the difference in one he made in 2 weeks versus one that was made out naturally. All this stuff happens quickly. Diamonds in a day, big commercials all over the country now, how everybody's bragging about how we can make diamonds in just a few hours in less than a day. We actually had a chance to go see the first man-made diamond that ever was done. It's fascinating, but folks, the point is all the stuff they say takes millions of years, nah, none of it does. It's all short-term stuff. Now, everybody look up here at this wall. Look at this screen here for a minute. Let's look at Charles Darwin for a second. Charles Darwin is considered the father of evolutionary, look at that word right there, thinking. Darwin had plenty of time to think. Darwin's thinking about things changed. In fact, the textbooks today say, talking about Darwin's ideas, they have deeply influenced our way of thinking about ourselves. Now, folks, understand something, please. Take a concordance and run the word mind in the Bible. You're going to be amazed how many times it comes up. Folks, the battle is for the mind. If the devil can have a person's mind, he's got them right where he wants them. Because if the devil can get our thinking going directions it shouldn't be going, those actions are going to eventually follow that thought pattern. Folks, we need to guard the mind. Do you understand? Darwin's thinking. This is a very serious, critical point right here. Now, back to this book. Remember earlier I pointed this, I read a page in this book with a homology where I said they're ridiculing God there. Here's an example of why I said that. Same book. Look what it says. Darwin was strongly influenced by the two conclusions followed by Lyell and Hutton. First, if geologic change results from slow, continuous action rather than sudden events, then Earth must be very old, certainly much older than the 6,000 years assigned by many theologians on the basis of biblical inference. Folks, please understand this. These textbooks these days are not only increasing, this is a current textbook being used all over this country, they're increasingly presenting evolution as a fact, but they are increasingly saying God is wrong, there is no God, creation is wrong, and such like that. And our kids who they believe there's a God, the ridicule is absolutely directed towards them. They're saying there is no God. There's no way, the evidence doesn't fit that the Bible's right. Here's another example, same book. Darwin read Lyell's Principles of Geology while on board the Beagle. Lyell's ideas with his own experiences had Darwin doubting, caused his thinking to change, the traditional view that the earth was static, been created only a few thousand years ago. And again, they're hammering against the Bible right there, saying the evidence doesn't fit what the Bible says. And folks, that's what our kids are learning in the textbooks these days. This stuff is startling. It is incredible. But now, check this out. I have a Curtis Barnes biology textbook. It has the most honest account of Charlie's life from a secular source than of any ever I've read otherwise. But anyway, it starts right out page number one. In 1831, young Charles Darwin set sail. Here we go. He was a candidate for the clergy. Most textbooks will say when Darwin graduated college or when Darwin got out of college or something, they never say what it was for. He was a candidate for the clergy. He wanted to be a minister. That's what he went to college for. He was an amateur botanist and geologist. He took a job without pay for 5 years. This guy took a job for 5 years that paid nothing as an amateur nobody. Like this last sentence says, his lifetime of independent work and study radically changed our view of life and of our place in the living world. And that's a true statement. Listen, Darwin didn't do that much, but he was the right guy, the right time, right place, right ideas. Folks grabbed onto that stuff, boy, and they took off running with it. Darwin, he took a lot of books with him. Think about it. He took his Bible, he thought he believed, but he also took the book, The Principles of Geology. This is the book that Charles Lyell wrote just the year before the Beagle Ride. This is the book right here where Charles Lyell breaks out this geologic column idea for the first time in the world. This is the book right here that destroyed Darwin's faith. This is the book that caused Darwin's thinking to be changed. The influence of this book right here. This is so serious. All the textbooks talk about how Charles Lyell's first book, Principles of Geology, caused Darwin's thinking to start changing. Folks, that's what we're doing today. We bring the kids into Sunday school for 45 minutes once a week, and then for hour after hour after hour after hour after hour, they're out there in the real world, in the school systems, in the museums, up with their neighbors and the kids in their house and all this kind of stuff, getting things coming into them that's causing their thinking to start heading off in wrong directions, and it is affecting them in a big way. Now look, Darwin, he sails along and he starts honing in on certain things. And he's, the finch and the tortoise and different plants. He said some of those finch, they have wimpy old beaks. Some of them have big old heavy dense thick beaks. Charlie said, maybe, just maybe, all those variety of finch, all 13 variety of finch, they all go back to a single finch species back in time. They have a single common ancestor. Well, that's not real hard to follow and go along with. Look, the finch have a finch for an ancestor. That's simple. But then Darwin took it a step further. He said, listen, if all those finch have the same common ancestor, maybe they have the same ancestor as the giraffe and the cabbage and the elephants and the rhinos and us. Wait, what? Oh yeah, he says everything has the same common ancestor. And sometimes people think, well, that's goofy. Who would believe that? Folks, our kids do. The people who put these books together do. I mean, it's incredible. Remember, Glencoe Biology sitting right here on the table. All the many forms of life on Earth today are descended from a common ancestor. They still say the same thing today. This is a 2005 Prentice Hall Biology textbook, still being used all over this country, real current book, saying the same thing. Folks, everything goes back to this single place. All living things, here's another one, share common ancestors. All textbooks teach this exact same thing still today. Folks, and it's simply not true. Now, let me run this by you here for a minute. Let's think, sort of tie it in with what I talked about last night a little. But let's suppose for a moment it's Easter time. Okay, and so you're going into your local True Value hardware store, and you've got your little daughter with you, your little granddaughter, and you're walking through the True Value there, and you hear this cheep, 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 cheep. You're thinking, I know what that is. Come on. You know, it catches her ear, and she looks, and you say, oh, come on, honey, come on. Oh, mommy, 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 look at the ducks. Oh, mommy, please, can we get a duck, please? And you say, no, honey, we don't need a duck. Come on, let's go. We got to go. Come on. And she says, oh, mommy, 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 wait a minute. Oh, mommy, look. Oh, mommy's smiling at me. He likes me. Please? So what do? You give in, right? And you get a duck for a buck. Okay, so now you have this duck. What are you going to do with this duck, you know? You get this duck, and you take it home, and you water the duck, and you feed the duck, and you play with the duck, and you tend the duck, and your brothers are out there trying to kill themselves on their bicycles or whatever, but you got your little basket on your little tricycle running the duck around. Everybody likes the duck, you know? Well, everybody's having a good old time looking at the duck. He's so cute. But then all of a sudden, time is continuing to move on. And then all at once, that duck realizes, wait a minute, I don't have to stay on the ground anymore. Well, mommy, 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 I don't want to lose my duck. Mommy, mommy, what? Folks, what do you do with a bird short of fencing it in or shooting it? How do you keep a bird from flying away? Clip its wings. Now, do you have to cut them off at the shoulder? No, just the tips will do fine. Most birds are covered in feathers. Most of those feathers are not flight feathers. Those flight feathers are required for flight. They can't flight without them. They need those flight feathers. Hey, you're going fishing, right? So you go out to the lake and you toss your line in and catch this nice keeper. You know, you're pretty happy with that. You're going to feed the family for about a week with that one. And so anyway, you throw out your line again and catch another one and another one and another one. Next thing you know, a few hours go by and you pull up your catch for the day. Yes, great day at the lake. This is wonderful. This is awesome. So now, folks, if you put those fish on that stringer going through the lip, they will do just fine. If you put those fish on that stringer going in the mouth and out the gill and toss them over, more often than not, they'll drown. Folks, half a gill is useless to a fish. Do you know that 2/3 of a wing ain't gonna cut it for the bird? Folks, you realize everything has to be what it is in order to function correctly. Now again, they say life started in the water, climbed out onto land, turned into something else, kept turning into other things. Folks, do you realize the absolute 100% total complete transformation of the entire systems of the entire item, person, thing, animal, whatever it is at the time, that would have had to change and all come together at the same time so it could work? That's just preposterous. Anybody can believe that kind of scenario happened, but it doesn't follow suit. It doesn't follow logic. There's no evidence for it. Dr. Colin Patterson is the one person on this planet that has more fossils personally at his disposal than anybody else. Nobody on planet Earth has more fossils they are personally responsible for and in charge of than this guy right here. He wrote a book in the 80s, and he didn't have any missing links in it. And somebody wrote in and said, why not? Well, part of his answer, I fully agree with your comments on the lack of evolutionary transitions in my book. If I knew of any, fossil or living, I would certainly included them. I will lay it on the line. There is not one such fossil. Not even one. Folks, the one person on the planet that has more fossils than anybody else in the whole world admits that there's no such thing as a missing link, a transitional fossil. There's no such thing. Then why is it always presented that way in the textbooks as though it's true? It's just an amazing thing. Hey, as we get going here in the second half, just want to show you another textbook slide. These things are just so, they're prevalent, I guess is the word for it. Again, Prentice Hall Biology, a teacher's edition textbook. It says, when Charles Lyell proposed his theory of uniformitarianism, he essentially drew a line between scientific analysis and religious conviction. Again, folks, they say, listen, in these textbooks, they're saying there's this line. You can have your science, you can have your religion, but you can't have both. Well, folks, true science will always validate what God said he did, because what God said he did is what he did, and the evidence will always confirm that. Anyway, another scoffer of the last day is this guy right here. Most of you in this room are familiar with this guy, even though maybe you don't even know it. This guy's name is Ernst Haeckel. He lived back in the middle, late 1800s time frame, again, a very crucial point in history there. This guy also was a bit of an inventor. In fact, he's the guy that originally invented these pictures right here, dreamed them up. Ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny, this thing is called. Embryology is the short word for it. But he says everything is going through the evolutionary process in the egg or the mother's womb or whatever it is it's developing in. And he uses a human, a chicken, a lizard, a fish, a dog, a pig, a turtle, you know, some other animals there. And he says everything is going through the evolutionary process in the developmental stage there. Well, now, wait a second, folks. 1868 is when he drew those pictures. 1874, it was proven that he had faked those pictures. He confessed it for the fraud that it actually was. In fact, here are the pictures of what he drew. They look very similar. Here are the pictures of what they are at those stages. They don't look anything at all similar. He actually just dreamed this stuff up, drew it up, and everybody believes it. It's still in all textbooks today. It is still in all museums today. You get this stuff everywhere. You get it in Time magazine. You get it in Discover magazine. You get it in Life magazine. You get it in all kinds of museum displays. It's everywhere. Well, folks, this concept that it's not really a baby yet, that is the only way you can psychologically justify abortion. Because look, if it's not a baby yet, it's going through the process, then what difference does it make if you kill one or not? It shouldn't really matter because it's not a baby. We're going to talk about abortion for a few minutes. Some of the younger kids, totally up to the parents ultimately, but somewhere like in the up to 12-year-old range or whatever, if they want, they can just get up and go with the pastor's wife and my son are going to go out there and they'll just take the... And you can't talk about abortion in a church. That's too political. Folks, there's nothing political about it. It's a baby. And to terminate the life of a baby is murder. And there's really no other words for it. I read more textbooks than anybody I personally know. People bring me their textbooks all the time, and we have stacks and stacks of these things. I'll tell you what, if you would take the time to read the textbooks that our kids and grandkids and such are learning from, I'll tell you what, it'll put tears in your eyes, man. Our government schools have become politically correct breeding grounds in a major big way. And we need some folks who are willing to step up to the plate, that's for sure. The enemy is very bold with what he wants. I think it's high time, folks, that the Christian parent at least step up to the plate and take care of their own children and grandchildren and such. It's amazing, folks. The devil is after our kids, and he's having a field day, and most people are totally unaware. This article ran in August 05 in New Scientist. Now look at this thing, folks. The title of the article is A Darker Shade of Green. The whole context of this article is what would have happened had Hitler won. Look at this thing. The consequences for science would have been profound had the Nazis won, or at least not lost. The scientific agenda would have been focusing on ecology. Now, folks, I don't know if you've ever taken time to take a look at the new textbooks these days, the newer ones. You know what the biggest main force thrust of information they're wanting to put out? Ecology issues, ecological stuff, how the planet's all under stress and how the humans are destroying the thing and all that kind of stuff. What is that telling us, you know? Hey, check this out. Look at this textbook now. It says, by 7 months, the fetus looks from the outside like a tiny normal baby, but it is not. It says, at 7 months, it looks like a baby, but it's not one. But then they say, at 12 weeks, the features are clearly human. Folks, how can it be clearly human at 12 weeks, but not a baby at 7 months? That doesn't even make any sense. You know, there are laws on the books that say if you kill an owl's egg, you will go to jail. There are laws on the books that say if you kill an eagle's egg, you will go to jail. There's a goose in New York that has special treatment and privilege and protection and stuff. You mess with that goose egg, they'll take you to jail. There's a turtle in Florida, comes up, digs a hole in the sand, and they rope off an area the size of this room. You get on the inside of that roped off area, they'll haul you off to jail. But if you go and kill an unborn human before it's born, same people now say you made a brave choice. Folks, we have problems in this country. We need some folks who are willing to step up to the plate. That's for sure. A pregnant woman can walk into a bar, smoking a cigarette, order a margarita. She's considered the scum of the earth. People say, what are you doing? You shouldn't be drinking like that. Why are you smoking like that? Don't you know you're... And the girl says, forget this. I'm tired of getting fussed at. You know? Leaves that bar, goes right next door, gets an abortion. Same people now say you just made a brave choice. Folks, we have problems in this country. We certainly need some folks to step up to the plate. Maybe there's somebody in who has had an abortion or convinced somebody to have one or had a part in some way. Folks, God will forgive you, but I do know this. It takes a lot of prayer to get somebody through a time after that time, that life after that time like that. It is incredible. We talk to so many people on this issue, it is unreal. Hey, now don't go doing really stupid, bad things, okay? Don't be blowing up people. Don't shoot anybody. Don't be doing that kind of stuff. There are things you can do, but don't do foolish stuff, you know? That's not right. But anyway, the media are willing accomplices in this thing. They can't wait to show starving kids and children and death and violence and mayhem and destruction and all. But they won't show an aborted baby. You know what, folks? If every news channel would show an aborted baby once a night, abortion would stop in this country because we'd be face to face with the reality of what it actually is. I have doctors come up to me and say, thank you. I've seen this, but I've never seen this. I've known this, but I've never known this. And just make comments like that. It's incredible. They interviewed 240 news editors, anchors, and writers, and 90% were pro-abortion. 86% seldom or never attended church. 76% saw nothing wrong with homosexuality. 47% believed adultery is okay. Folks, if we think for one skinny minute we are getting the truth when we get the news, we better think again. We are getting their version of what they want approved of. Listen, if you get a society used to seeing this, you can take the next step, and then take the next step, and then take the next step, and next thing you know, it's so far down the tube there that you didn't even know what happened. I mean, it's an amazing thing. You want to prove it? Find somebody that's in their 90s and take them back in their mind back when they were 10, and interview that 10-year-old and tell them what America 2000 is going to look like. Back then, they would have said, you're crazy. What are you talking about? Guys marrying guys. Come on, out of here. What do you mean? A kid, we're going to be killing our babies before they're born. Man, this is America. We're different. Folks, that's our biggest problem. We're no different than anybody else. Listen, God is no respecter of persons. You know what? People are people, and sin is sin. And for some reason, we've been convinced that we are immune to everything, and it's just not that way. Richard Cohen, senior producer, CBS Political News, he said, we are going to impose our agenda on the coverage by dealing with issues and subjects that we choose to deal with. Richard Sallent, former president of CBS News, said, our job is to give the people not what they want, but what we decide they ought to have. Well, who are they to decide what we ought to have? Absolutely amazing. Remember this article, folks. The top scientists are more atheistic than they have ever been. Now, watch this. I don't even think these people knew what they did here. This is Discover Magazine, March 91. And it says right here, four-month-old fetus ultrasound image. I'm going to draw it out. Hopefully everybody can see this. This child is laying on its back. All right, now here's the top of the head. Here's the back of the head. Right here's the neckline, there's the back, and the legs and feet are too deep back there, you lose them, but then you can see the belly, the neck, the chin, the mouth, the nose, the eyeball, back to the forehead here, back to the top of the head. You can clearly see a forearm and 1, 2, 3, 4 fingers and a thumb. This child is laying on its back, sucking its thumb. Now look what it says down here. It is contently sucking its thumb, and researchers can now demonstrate the child's preference for the right or left hand is set even before birth. At about 12 weeks. 12 weeks. Now, folks, 12 weeks is the tail end of the first trimester. You do not have a preference, and you cannot be content unless something is working up here that says, I like this more than I like this. That is a preference. That happens at 12 weeks, but they say by 7 months it looks like a baby, but it's not one. I beg to differ at that point. We were doing a seminar in Pennsylvania one time, and this lady came up to me after tonight, and she says, Steve, you got to come down to my house. And she just lived a few blocks down. So we did, about 11 o'clock that night. We're down at this lady's house. She has an ultrasound image of her baby in the womb. These two fingers are in her mouth. She has a picture of that little girl just minutes old right there in the hospital. These two fingers in her mouth. She said sometimes if she has a bad day, just something's going wrong or something's bad or whatever, and sometimes her mom will sneak in, check on her in the middle of the night, curled up in the fetal position, these two fingers in her mouth. The girl is 17 years old now. Folks, that preference started in the womb. Those are babies. And to terminate the life of a baby is murder. They say can't live outside the womb. Well, you might want to tell Melissa that. She came to one of our seminars. She was born in the 6th month. She brought a little footprints in there. And her sister was with her. She said, oh, you should have seen her. She didn't have any ears. She's born without her ears. I know all kinds of examples. Folks, I know of two sets of twins that were born 92 days apart from each other. 92 days, that's 3 months. If you're only in there for 9 months, that means in each case, half of the set of twins was born in the 6th month. But yet they say by 7 months, it looks like a baby, but not one. Dana and I, born and raised in Texas, moved to New Hampshire, another place in New Hampshire, back to Texas, back to New Hampshire, another place in New Hampshire. That was all in about a 2-year time frame. We just about owned U-Haul, I think. But anyway, Paul was born, now follow me here, Paul was born March 18th in New Hampshire. In May, a couple months later, we're moving back to Texas. December 25th, Christmas Day, U-Haul's loaded, taken to the road, moving back to New Hampshire. We get to this place and born and raised war zone South Texas, no big deal, and we're up here in New Hampshire, a few weeks go by, and we get shot at. So we say, okay, we don't want to stay here, so we break this lease, and we go get this other apartment. Now, it's February. Paul was born in March. He's 11 months. We go to a church that we had been at over a year earlier, but now we have a baby. There's another family in that church that we knew back the first time we were there, but now they have a baby. Their child was born March the 11th. When we put those two babies side by side, Paul was twice the size of that other little boy. This little boy is 1 week older than our son. Or is he? He was born in the 4th month. Folks, I know many accounts of people born in the fourth, fifth, sixth month. Kelly Reagan Dickerson, Fort Worth, Texas, born in the fourth month at 12 ounces. Kelly Thorman, Toledo, Ohio, born in the fourth month at 14 ounces. Some of you may remember back a couple of years ago, there was a child born in this country, 8.4 ounces. This lady, she said, Steve, I'm going to tell you my story, but I'm going to tell you tomorrow. So she says, I want to bring some things in. So tomorrow before we start, she brings this stuff in and pictures and a little knitted bonnet cap and everything. She said, here's what happened to me. I'm eating breakfast with my husband, and all of a sudden, I just dropped my spoon and said, our baby just died. And he said, what? She said, our baby just died. He said, what are you talking about? She said, I'm telling you, our baby just died. We need to go to the hospital. So they did, and sure enough, the baby had just died. Folks, there's a bond that takes place in there. You rip that bond apart prematurely, you've got problems, big problems, as a matter of fact. It's incredible. We were doing a seminar in New Jersey. Family brought their baby in, born in the fourth month. Another one born in the sixth month. Another one in the fifth. I mean, dozens and dozens and dozens of accounts of people that I personally know of, born in the fourth, fifth, sixth month. And so, but folks, it is incredible what's taking place in this country. Every 180 every hour we're destroying here in this country. Incredible stuff. Folks, do you realize what that means? You take a stroll through the halls of America, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find another generation where a third of the people are not there. Now, folks, you realize the implications of that. Everybody's heard in this country that a child born today will face anywhere from an 89 to a 92% tax rate in his lifetime. And in a sense, that's true, but in another sense, it's not true. We'll blow apart at the seams. But the way it's supposed to work, the bell curve, you have a few elderly people. As population gets younger, you have more people. That's what makes the idea of Social Security work and that kind of stuff. You have all these people putting in to support the few. The problem is we come out right, and right at Roe v. Wade, we're whacked off. And we go back in for several years. We're just now out where we used to be 40 years ago plus, 45 years. Folks, the reality is when the people that are here, me, are up here, where is the support going to come from? Folks, we destroyed our future. People say all the time, well, you know what? We have a job shortage in this country. I don't even have a good job. Folks, we do not have a job shortage in this country. We do have a serious case of missing customers in this country. All those babies would have had to have food and formula, shoes, clothes, socks, cribs, toys. They would have had to have stuff. We'd have to have people supply that stuff. We travel all over this country. I mean, think of it. If you ever travel around, you'll know what I'm talking about. There are areas, massive construction taking place, massive industry being developed and stuff. Why does that happen where that does happen? The only reason that happens is because there are a lot of people right there, and they need the stuff. So you have to have the services supplying the people, the jobs. We've destroyed our future. It all goes hand in hand. And abortion is legal up until the very day of birth in this country. 4,400 of them are done every day. And the term fetus is a Latin word that means little child. It's a foreign language saying what it is. The worst complication, they call it, to an abortion is a live birth. Anna Rosa will go through life with only one arm. Her other arm was ripped off during an unsuccessful abortion at 8 months. I mean, can you imagine the testimony of a little girl like this? What happened to your arm? Did you lose it to cancer? Car wreck? No, I'm just an abortion that made it through. Folks, if only one makes it through, it proves they're babies. If only one. It happens all the time. We have several examples of testimonies of people who have survived abortions. If only one makes it, it proves they're babies. I mean, it's just incredible. But anyway, now think of this also. If pro-choice really means choice, why is all this anger there if the choice is life? I mean, seriously, some girl's going to go in, get her abortion. There's a Christian couple praying on the sidewalk, don't kill the baby. And the girl says, you're right, I don't want to kill the baby. I'm going to have this baby. All of a sudden, the pro-choice community is up in arms. Why? Folks, they don't care about that little girl. They don't care about that baby. But what they do care about is the money. We have the money-making aspects, the stats of this thing. This is quite the industry that they've developed. Folks, have you ever thought about this? Seriously, we have taken in this country the word choice and attached it to killing a human being. That's just bizarre when you stop and consider something. Why don't you have a choice if you want to wear a seatbelt or not? Why don't you have a choice if you want to burn a pile of leaves in your own front yard? Why don't you have a choice about doing some things that don't affect anybody else? I mean, choice is killing somebody. That's just wild. We're all over this country, folks. And look at this sign. No littering, fines to $10,000. Now, folks, now don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying everybody ought to just, you know, toss your McDonald's bags out the window. That's not what I'm saying. But, folks, do you realize how backwards we are in this society?
That's about all the time we have for now. But in the future, we'll be hearing more from creation science evangelist Steve Grohman as we play for our listening audience the audio from A Creation Seminar. Listen for it next week. Also, we encourage you to log on to Steve's website at www.creationseminar.net. That's www.creationseminar.net. Make a note and check it out before our next broadcast. www.creationseminar.net.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.